This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The mindset of an inspired generation. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
All right, it's 1937. We move on now to our Power Suit segment. Every Thursday, we get the C-suite in studio and we speak about life in that fast lane running South Africa's business sector. This evening is no different. I'm joined by Lebogang Letswalo, who's CEO of Sigpoint, and she joins us in studio. Hi, Lebogang.
Hi, Nolu. Thank you for having me on your show, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you for being here. It's great to have you in studio, so thank you for coming. I know it's cold. Everything is probably better from the house at this point. But let's talk about you, Lebogang, where you're from, where you were raised, and your journey to becoming a business person in South Africa.
All right. My home is Rustenburg, born in Northwest in a place called Bethani. So I was born and bred there, and spent most of my time in Johannesburg with my studies. In terms of my background, I have grown to really venture into different areas in terms of where I am today. Firstly, my background is supply chain. So for my sins, I ended up in procurement, I ended up in logistics. So I started leveraging on supply chain to be able to access and help other people to access the markets. So I spent my 18 years in corporate, various areas, until to being a vice president for supply chain at Sasol. Well, my CV is just there. If anyone wants to. But the main thing is that I've spent my 18 years in corporate, and part of it was really learning the ropes of the industry, getting the experience, which is quite critical. But the most fascinating part of it was also building the relationships with the industry. So for the past 8 years, I've spent it, having started my company called Sigpoint, which focuses on advising big businesses and smaller businesses in terms of their supply chains, how to optimize them, how to access the markets. We do the coaching and the mentorship of the SMMEs as well. But the most part about it is how we integrate South African supply chains into different markets, into Africa, and also globally. One other exciting part that we've started looking at is looking at arts, music, culture as a tool to access different market segments. So really look at music supply chains and also incorporating business into it. Oh, at the same time, I'm a trucker, by the
way. Yes, I love that. That's very interesting.
Yes.
I want to speak about also the fact that you were bitten by industry. And I say that in the sense that, I mean, you could have been in retail, you could have been anything. It sounds like you liked the hardcore stuff. You liked the oil and the chemicals and the commodities. I want to speak about that and just navigating that world.
All right. So my first job, in fact, I was doing my second year. So I was lucky enough to get into an organization called Fleur that took me through the construction. So they used to build plants. Before then, I had like just a contract with IBM on the technology side. And moving forward, I joined Eskom when it was the perfect Eskom. And I'm still proud of the journey with them, by the way, because I was one of the youngest executives at 28 and 29 years by then. And it really accelerated my journey in the industry. So the last business and corporate that I was with is Sasol. So I was a general manager of supply chain in the polymer business, which is the chemical industry. Then fast forward, when they were optimizing, I was given the role of a vice president for supply chain. So my role was really managing the outbound supply chains of the goods, moving goods just to make it easy, the performance and base chemicals, moving them into different market segments. So I've managed fertilizers, explosives, polymers, a whole lot of product streams that are in chemicals. Bitten, yes, several times. And being a woman and being young as well, I think most of us, we really faced with a lot of dynamics in the industry. But if you want me to share more around it, you let me know.
Yeah, I mean, I really actually want to speak about also then having just the grit really to be in unfamiliar territory, to be, of course, continuing on and even rising up the ranks, you know, in environments that aren't necessarily welcoming always to people who look like you or who come from the same communities as you. But more than that, being able to excel, because sometimes the politics can be a distraction. You still have to get there and perform and do the work and do it super well.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I always say as women, we are lucky that there's preferential employment. And when you talk about equity and getting women in different industries, it's very critical to always have. But I always say when you are given that chance, what do you do with it? The reality is that there will always be someone that will always doubt you. There will be someone that tells you you're not good enough. And I have experienced that, by the way, in terms of my journey. I was young. I had a very huge portfolio at my age. I mean, I was like 35 as a vice president for supply chain. And I had a biggest portfolio that everyone wanted. So, I mean, it's all under the bridge. The reality is what you learn when you're given that role. The role is really around you have a position, you have a position power. And whilst you have a position power, how do you build relationships internal to the organization? But also how we build that affluence outside. Because, you know, I never wanted to be called Lebo Sasol, Lebo Eskom, Lebo as a team company. I wanted to be known as Lebo as a supply chain expert, a person that people can entrust in terms of knowledge and so forth. But also then I want to tap onto another element in terms of how you get bitten. And, sometimes I sit back and I'm like, oh, I could have said this in a boardroom.
Yes.
you sit in a boardroom whereby there's a discussion. Listen, not all of us were born as whites, and English is our first mother tongue. And you say something not in a way that someone will really, and someone just wake up, will come and say, in the most marinated way with spices. Oh, like, oh, bitch, you are right. And and those are the things that we are dealing with. And what happens is that you end up in your own cocoon, and you end up doubting your capabilities as well, even if you are good, if you want to excel. But also then there's another part of really saying that how do you really use that position power to gain favor? One of the things that I always push a lot is ensuring that I've got a sponsor in the business, but also people that can speak about me when I'm not there. And the only reason, like, when I was saying building the affluence, is really ensuring that when you are not there, people will talk about Lebo, not Lebo the company, because of how you are contributing to the industry. It gains favor for you. And people respect you for your profession. So when we're given these roles, these are the roles that really elevate us. But these are the roles that allows us to grow, to build relationship, but also be the ambassadors for others. As a woman, for me, I can tell you, I've always been pro towards the youth, pro towards the women as well. So I knew that when I had been given a position in corporate, I would use it to elevate another woman. That is why even after I left the corporate, people will still call me sister boss. And they'll still ask for advice. Not that everyone wanted that, but the reality is when you are in a certain position, in a certain role, you'll always be bitten, but equip yourself, build relationships, have a sponsor that at an executive level, they can talk about you, but always make sure that you've got your facts right and you are prepared at the same time.
Now, I like how you speak about, you know, the issue of having sponsors and building affluence. What it also tells me is that approaching a career with understanding that you've got stakeholders. Actually, we had a previous segment and I said people often don't forget how you've made them feel. And people often also don't forget, what happened in a moment of adversity. It's kind of the things that follow you around. People, I mean, if you got the job done, we tick the box. It's what you're supposed to do. But, you know, what was the mood like when that happened? Or, for instance, how did you contribute to the environment in that time? I want to speak about that, really being able to maneuver through tense environments in the workspace and being able to shine, and then also being able to have difficult conversations with stakeholders while still keeping them, in your pockets. There's still people that you can call and reference today. But in that moment, some conversations get tense.
I think firstly, if we speak of stakeholders and people internally, I always believe that you need to build rapport with people, and you respect them irrespective of where they are at in terms of the journey, even a cleaner, even a security guy out there. So I think the respect is very important. When you speak to stakeholders at the same time, don't use position power to overpower them, because one day you'll be out of that space and being like me, an entrepreneur, a business person. And those people, I will have to liaise with them and partner with them, going out of corporate. So that thing is very important. I remind people that always look at certain CEOs or certain leaders that were very famous in the industry, in their companies. As soon as they left their corporate, what happened to them? ask yourself. But at that point in time when they were incorporated, they were loved because of their position and they could influence. And that's where the influence comes to be. But the affluence, if you don't build resources outside, then you are out. So that's the first thing. The second one, that in terms of, I mean, there's always a conflict resolution mechanism as well. I mean, you're asking how do you deal with some of these things? Conflict will happen. I always say to people, we shy away from politics in corporates, especially women. And because, you know, corporates are difficult. And you say, I don't want to be dealing with business politics as well. That's what we always say. We don't want to deal with business politics. But you need to be able to know, have that political acumen in corporate space. If you don't have it, you'll be swept off completely. It's not about politics that we have with the GNU and so forth, but you have to build it. But another one is that if you have information and you're well equipped in terms of what your environment and taking your role seriously, and you're equipped with knowledge, but you also build your team. Because remember, you can fail even if you are good. You can be excelling as an individual. However, if you have the team that you are not pulling around, I'm sorry, they'll make you collapse at the same time. So you want to get to a point that when you build and you are being challenged, you have a team that is really supporting you where you are resolving the conflicts as well. Another important aspect which we also forget, I always say that in corporate, the people that knows all the policies are the labor, the unions. Most of us get challenged because we don't even understand the policies in the organization. So those things for me are very critical in terms of how you manage, you know, politics, how you manage, how you get challenges. I mean, you I always say that you come to a corporate and you want to be a change agent. You want to be a catalyst for change. I mean, I've been at that point just sharing my experience as well, where I had brought some transformational policies on another organization and they were not received well. And when that happened, I knew that everyone was gunning against me. Yes. So what happens then, the only thing that helped me was that up and bottom, everyone knew the good work that I was doing, so I could already have the feed in terms of the next meeting that I have. And I think most of us, we get to that point where you don't know which direction to take. You're fighting the battles in corporate. But I can assure you that corporates will always have politics. Corporate, you need to have political acumen. You need to have a sponsor. You need to know that you'll never shy away from any challenges, you know, that comes your way. But wherever you are at, you become that change agent, the catalyst. Mm-hmm. Build the people that works with you. Build the stakeholders as well, so that you can be trusted that you can deliver.
I love that. And I think it's important just to know that often we hear people say, oh, corporate is so tough. But like you're saying, it is a political environment and you ought to get yourself equipped for the environment.
Exactly.
Let's talk about going off on your own. That decision when you decided that, okay, you have served, you have learned, and now it's time for you to go into Sick Point.
Oh, my goodness. The most exciting 8 years of my life. A lot of sleepless nights that I can tell you. So when I quit corporate, two things that I decided to focus on was Sync Point, my supply chain business, but also I started an organization called African Women in Supply Chain Association. So two things to it was, as I move along, I needed to know what my purpose really was. And sometimes it's always late. After a couple of years, you realize what your purpose is in life. So I knew that my purpose was to save and to make impact. And the way to be able to do that was really positioning myself, building my brand. And I built my brand around being labeled a supply chain coach. And for a reason that I knew I wanted to share my supply chain experience with SMMEs, with women, with youth. Why does that matter? It's because most of us that goes into business, we don't understand supply chains. That's one part. Why did I become a supply chain coach? Was to also ensure that another woman that's in corporate don't have to go through the painful journey that I've gone through. So I coach a lot of women, but I include also men as well. But that is where it's also coming from, the mentorship, the coaching as well that I am driving in the industry. So let me quickly just tell you, on the AWISCA, African Women in Supply Chain Association, we work with youth women, we work with entrepreneurs and professionals in supply chain space. And just to contextualize supply chain, meaning professionals and entrepreneurs on various economic sectors, but supply chain, there's procurement, there's logistics, there's transportation as well, so that everyone understands that. So so with the youth, we run entrepreneurship and workplace readiness programs for them so that they have options. If they are in supply chain, they can start up their business. Also for the work readiness programs as well, we take them to different sites. If they're doing warehousing, we take them to the ports, we take them to the rail terminals so that they can visualize whatever they are studying, bringing the practicality. And then with the women chapter, we run women initiatives. So women have got access into different economic sectors, building their technical skills. So I work with a lot of women in the transport sector, with UN Women, United Nations, and other business corporates. But the idea is really around how we build the transport sector. It's got close to less than 15% of women. Mm. On it in the transport sector, the youth as well. But we're using the professional chapter to be able to get professionals in transport, in procurement, to be able to have a conversation with other entrepreneurs to say that I'm from corporate SA. This is what required. This is, you know, the knowledge that you require to get to a certain company. But it's really around preparedness. And the most other exciting part is that we have elevated this outside South Africa. So we run the top 100 women in supply chain in Africa. It's our fourth year now. And we are in 25 countries in Africa already. And the idea was really bringing the interconnectivity amongst us as women. And as your business person, if you want to go into Ghana, you want to go to DRC, there's always someone there that you've built relationship with as well. And also what we are doing as well, we run the Supply Chain Game Changers Awards as well, where we recognize industry trailblazers in supply chain, in procurement, in transport, in logistics as well. So we have now ventured as well with another exciting portfolio around the Legends and Legacy Ball Africa Awards and really saying that how do we use music as a tool to access different supply chains, now incorporating business as well. So just highly, just quickly, this event is happening on the 13th of July. So we're honoring Mama Yvonne Chaka Chaka around that. So why do we have this and why I'm bringing it? Because it's different countries that are connecting. We've got the Africa Free Continental Trade, where we're really moving. It's around movement of people in terms of trade as well. And there's different sectors that are being driven through after. So we have different people coming from different countries that are coming for business matchmaking as well. And then there is an element of honoring and really around also look at the 30 years of democracy in South Africa, how music has shaped that landscape and paying tribute to those that has been instrumental in us connecting in Africa through music, business, the Huma Sekela, the Brenda Farsi, and so forth. But because of my love for coaching and the business, in our business on this, we're also looking at how we coach the young ones that are going into the arts and culture, how they take music supply chain seriously. Why am I saying this? Because they do most of people, if you look at some of the late singers, their royalties, they don't have access to it because it was about fame. And what happens now, they didn't sign contract where they don't own their music. So we bring in the business again as part of our supply chain on the musical side. So it's been an exciting journey, in fact, right now in terms of what we are doing and also working with entrepreneurs within the transport sector, contributing to the Africa Free Continental Trade. And that's the last part that I will share is really around how we really bring intra-trading across Africa. So connecting products. So SMMEs that are manufacturing in South Africa right now, what we are saying, if you have a product, we'll put it on a portal and really connect you to other African markets. So we are in the process of creating an Africa trade house with the products of South Africa's made in Africa, funded in Africa. And anyway, you'll be able to access that product. So for me, it's about how we make products accessible to the market. If you are being taught to manufacture some lotions or whichever it may be, normally it ends up in your garage. So we are at a point where I always say that let's challenge the current status quo also with the government. When we put money to develop entrepreneurs, they don't understand the entire value chain. So I'm bringing my supply chain experience with my teams. We have mentors and coaches so that if you're an SMMEs, you understand the entire value chains and look at regional integration and also looking at global integration of your own products. So for me, that's the most fascinating part of, you know, being able to share, being able to help, and creating a platform that will help, you know, business connect and also grow SMMEs, also grow women as well in the industry.
It is fascinating, you know, the work that you've done. And I really want to ask you just off the bat here, you know, what do you wish people knew about the supply chain process? When you encounter people or companies and businesses, people who need coaching, you know, what do you find that they, you just wish one thing they knew about this process and about getting involved in the supply chain sector?
I wish they understood that supply chain has always existed.
Yes.
Supply chain has always been there. Procurement has always been there. You know, when I studied supply chain, I started as purchasing, then I did my logistics degree, and then I had my master's in supply chain. People did not understand what supply chain is. And I always say, people, as long as you are in business, you have a supply chain. You are running a supply chain because it's an end-to-end process from procurement until your product gets to the customers. So what I wish people knew years ago is how to access opportunities in the industry. When I was a second year student, I could see there was procurement, there was businesses out there, nothing was automated. And I can tell you there were few black people. In fact, I can't even recall, probably one person that had access on some of the companies that I worked for. But because by then, people then, there was no tendering system that was out there. People knew that there's a tendering system. You can get tenders, you can get opportunities. Right now, as business people, we're fiddling around the tendering system, looking at opportunities, as if this is something new. The country has always run on supply chains, and I wish people knew about it. At this point in time, I wish people now could understand that if you are in business, get to understand your end-to-end supply chain, not only what you are manufacturing. So if you are a farmer, understand how you want your spinach to get to a retail sector. How does it get to Spar? How does it get to Pick and Pay? How does it get to a Woolworths as well? So don't just have your product here and you think that that's... No. I wish people understand the end-to-end value chain, the integration all the way to logistics. I want them to understand if you are manufacturing for Tencent, by the time your product gets somewhere else, your product would have got like 5 cents because... for the packaging, for the warehousing, for the logistics, for a product getting into the market, you may have lost a lot of money. So I will advise anyone that is a manufacturer, that's in any of the agricultural sectors. We have 10 economic sectors, wherever you are at. Understand then to end value chain because it's the most important part around supply chain. Get to know where your product and how your product has to reach the market. And most important part is market access. Most of us, we have beautiful products. We don't know how to market them. We don't know how to integrate them into the value chains. So I wish people understood that. So I would say that people might invest in their own coaching mentorship. People need to understand what is happening in the industry because it's all good to have policy framework that's supporting us, but your product will end up nowhere if you don't have market access. And we keep on saying we want market access, but do you know how to get that market?
Well, that's all we have time for today. I'd like to thank you for coming to studio. And I think speaking about a very important one there, demystifying supply chains, I think still lots of work to be done in that regard. Liwe Hang, thank you so much for being here. That is Liwe Hang Letswalo. She is the CEO at SickPoint.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.